before I preach, just in the pre-service prayer meeting, and guys, you're invited to that. 10 a.m. before every service, we meet in one of the children's rooms here, and we pray. And it just lays a platform. So if you're a praying person, you feel, look, come on, I can get myself to there for 2 minutes to 10. I can do that. Let's be a praying church that sets the environment. Because here's what I believe. The day's going to come when you're going to bring your friend you've been praying for years. Yeah. And what you want to bring them into is an environment that's ready. Yeah. You want to bring them in an environment where you know they're going to encounter Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to touch hearts, and their lives are going to be transformed. You could play your part in that. So if you want to challenge yourself, get here at 2 minutes to 10 in the room that is literally across the corridor there, and come and pray with us. But as part of the prayer meeting this morning, my brother Dan here, who is highly gifted in the prophetic, started declaring some stuff. And I said, Dan, you know, I could say that, but it'd be very powerful if you say that. So can we give Dan a big welcome, as he's just going to share some stuff with us.
So good, isn't it? So good. What I was believing for, that God is saying... It's a time to speak it. It's a time to speak it into being. God spoke the word, didn't he? Let there be light. And there was light at the beginning. And it's a time to speak it, church. Not just to think it, but it's a time to speak it out. So I wonder if we can stand to our feet, because I want to declare some stuff. The church, it's time to be intentional. It's time to speak it out and speak it into being. So come on. Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord God, that we are going to speak your truth this morning, Lord God. We declare in Jesus' name that we will see our 24/7 building this year, Lord God. We speak it into fruition in Jesus' name, Lord God. That we can see people come into your church, Lord God, and be set free. That we can be your hands and feet, Lord God, and see your signs and wonders. That we will see, Lord God, your church, Lord, flow into the city of Colchester, Lord God. That we can come, Lord Jesus, and feed the needy in Jesus' name, Lord God. We say, Jesus, push back all the enemy that he tries to do, Lord God. We stamp him under our feet and say, we declare in Jesus' name that we will see our 24/7 building this year, Lord God. Lord, we say, Father God, this year we're going to see salvation in your church, Lord God. Not just the 20, but it's going to grow more than 20, Lord God. That, Father God, that we would be intentional as church to invite our friends, to invite our neighbours, to invite our work colleagues in Jesus' name. And we will see as they come into church, Lord God, they can't help but meet you, Jesus. Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God. Jesus, we declare right now in Jesus' name that we are going to see your signs and wonders, your everyday miracles, Lord God, that we would be your mouthpiece and encourage the people around us, Lord God. As we go out of the church, Lord God, we will see people set free through the voice, through our voice, as we declare it, Lord Jesus, Lord God. Lord, we will see blind eyes open in Jesus' name. We will see people set free from anxiety, from depression, Lord God. We'll see people's hearts rejoice and be joyful in your name, Lord God. We will see joy in Colchester, Lord God. We will see fruit in Colchester in Jesus' name, Lord God. And we stamp the enemy under our feet, Lord God. And we speak it in Jesus' name, Lord God. We declare it, Lord God. And we speak it into being. We will see it this year. This is the year, Lord God, that we will grow. We will grow it double in numbers in Jesus' name, Lord God. We'll have a 24/7 building, Lord God, that can be your hub for Colchester in your mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Come on, do you believe it? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Are you up for a message? Father, I just want to commit this moment to you. Lord, I thank you for every brilliant person you've gathered, everyone who'll be watching online. Be blessed, church. You're amazing. But I thank you, Lord God, that you're stirring us. You're stirring your church to be the church you need us to be in this time. A unique time in the world with so much going on around us. But we choose to stand on your rock. You, Jesus, the truth, the word that brings life. So I pray, Father God, for soft hearts and open ears and a willingness to be your people in this time. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Touch that person next to you and say, he's got something for you this morning. So you're picking up that we have given faith as our theme for the year. And it's interesting that when you focus on something, it becomes sharper, doesn't it? When you look at it properly over a period of time, you start seeing it and find, come on, I'm believing that your faith's going to grow because we're focusing on it. Whatever you feed grows, and we're feeding faith right now, so it's going to grow. I'm believing that you as an individual, as part of this church, your faith's going to grow this year. You'll find yourself believing for bigger and more outrageous thing, because you were once here, but you've grown in it and you've seen the goodness of God. And it's like, come on, I could believe for something small before, but I've seen it. And because I've seen it, I'm going to believe for something medium-sized, but I've seen it. And I'm now going to believe for something bigger and I'll see it. And why? Because God wants to be glorified in through us, amen, his church. And so that when people look at your life, they'll go, wow, you're amazing. You handle your stuff different to me. I see good things happening all around you, and you'll be able to genuinely see, that's my Jesus. Yeah. That's my Jesus. So come on, allow God to stir you. You know, all things are possible with Christ isn't just a scripture. Mm. Come on, it's a declaration of the heart of God's people. Yeah. Come on, it's a lifestyle. It's a way of thinking. It's not just something we read, it's who we become. Are you with me? So come on, are all things possible with Christ? Yeah. Yes, come on, let's believe that and live like it. Here's my title for you today. The Lord is about to do amazing things. Yeah. Come on, the Lord is about to do amazing things. God is a God of relationship. You know, when he made mankind, he talked to himself and he said, let's make mankind in our own image. He wanted relationship. When Jesus was asked to boil it all down, what did he say? Love God and love people. It's about relationship from a heart. So we say, we love you, Father. We believe in you. We know you're for us. We know our eternity is saved. And we live vertically. But then we love people. Because out of that relationship, we get the heart of the Father. And as we get the heart of the Father and we look around us, our hearts break for what breaks his. People living without him, struggling in all kinds of ways. And what happens? We have to step in. It's relational. So God is a relational God, and he's making his church a relational people. And here's the great thing. When you look at the miraculous things through the word, the overwhelming majority of those he does through people, doesn't he? And it's just brilliant. He allows us in on the action. Does anyone want to get into the God action nowadays? You know, does anyone want to see God move and say, I'm up for it? Because I know you want to do it through people on the whole. Now, he does do things without people, but on the whole, he does it through people. Yeah. When God parted the Red Sea, Moses had to raise his staff. Yeah. He was invited and part of it. When God purifies the water that was bringing death, Elisha had to throw salt in it. When God defeated the giant, David had to step up and throw a stone. Can you see? All through the word, people were involved. When God allowed a man to walk on water, Peter had to get out of the boat. You know, I think there's miracles in this room, but we've got to have the boldness and the faith to get out of the boat. We've got to have the boldness and the faith to ask the question, to throw the stone, whatever it might be. God wants to use you. When God calls the lame man to walk, Peter and John had to declare to him, in Jesus' name, get up and walk. Now, come on, is there some faith declarations in the church today? I hope to inspire you this morning. God has done amazing things, and most often through people in history, and I believe he's the same today. God still wants to do amazing things, and he still wants to use people. Could you believe he could use you? You know, could you be someone who in 2024 begins to write an amazing story of God's goodness? But here's the thing, it's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 38 and 39 say this, but my righteous ones will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. That's a mic drop moment right there, isn't it? Come on. Here's the thing. God is looking for righteous people. We are righteous because of Jesus. It's the only reason we're righteous. He made us righteous. It's Jesus who gave himself. He gives us right standing with God. He did it. But having gained that understanding of that's our position, we have right standing God, we are the righteous, we now need to be people who don't shrink back. Yeah. And what happens so often in life, in church and definitely outside of church, we look around at what's happening around us. Financial problems, health problems, attitudes and shift changes around all the things people believe and stand on. It's all changing, and we look around and go, it's a mess, it's too difficult, oh no. And the easy thing to do is to shrink into the background and just go with the flow and not make a noise. But we don't shrink back. Come on, we stand forward. We are men and women of faith. God wants to write a story, and an outrageous story that confounds everything around us. He is not restricted by all the things that are happening around us. And he is looking for men and women to say, that might be happening out there, but it's not happening in here. There's no recession in heaven. There's no health issues in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. There's only goodness in heaven. And I am on earth representing heaven. Can you see? It's a difference. So we don't shrink back into what's happening around us. No, we step forward to represent heaven. Can God supply all your needs according to his riches in glory? Can he? Can he? Do we live like that? Can God heal you and your friend and your family member? Can he? Do we shrink back or do we stand on the truth? Are you with me? Faith isn't just a feeling based on circumstances. It's a proclamation of the heart inspired by Jesus. So as we get together in our gatherings, come on, my greatest hope is that you'll leave this place inspired by Jesus. And not go out and live how everyone else lives. And even live how you may have been living. No judgment or condemnation here. But come on, there is more. There is more for you. There is more for the church. But it takes a stirring of our faith to say, I know it's all happening like that around there, but I'm not subject to that because my God reigns over all of it. Are you with me? Come on, touch the person next to you and say, write an outrageous story. So I've been reading the book of Joshua. We called our son Joshua, which means God saves. It means the same as Jesus. So we could actually sneakily call Joshua Jesus. And but I'm looking at it through the lens of faith. It's amazing that whatever you read, when you change the lens you're reading it through, different things come out. So here is where I got my title for today's message. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Come on, isn't that good? Do you believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? So if he could do it then, could he do it today? Come on. God, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you. Consecrate yourself is actually an invitation by God into an outrageous story. He wants you involved. He wanted them involved. He said, I could just do this. You know, I could dry up the river. I could bring down the walls. But I want you to be involved in it. And here is the starting point. Consecrate yourselves. See, they looked around themselves and they had to get across the Jordan River at the time, and the Jordan River was at its peak. It was impossible to cross. No way. They then knew that they had to go and break down the walls of Jericho, which we discussed last week, which are so wide they had houses in them, which were so wide they had chariot races on the top of them. They weren't just two bricks wide like we picture. They were probably as wide as this room. And so in the natural, they said, there's a massive river we can't get across. In the natural, they said, there's massive walls we can't break down. In the natural, they'd spied it out and they were big people living there and they were well organized. It was impossible. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you look at it and you think, this is just impossible? Come on, we've all been there. But God. But God. And he says, come on, I am about to do amazing things. Will you come on a journey with me? Come on, Equippers Church. Come on, whoever you are, wherever you sit on this, God is looking to do amazing things, and he's looking for you to join in. Yeah. He wants to give you a story. Yeah. Where does it start? Consecrate yourselves. Yeah. Not a classic word we use today. When was the last time you heard consecrate? Ages ago. But it basically means get yourselves right. Sort yourselves out. Clean your act up. Remember whose you are. Remember who you belong to. And so he was challenging them. I wonder why he had to do that. And I believe it's because they'd got into lifestyles and habits that weren't glorifying God. They'd got into thought processes that weren't glorifying God. And he said, if I'm going to do something amazing, you've got to remind yourself whose you belong to. And so do you get it? So he's inviting them into something. Here's the great thing. They took a day and they did that. And as they stepped into the Jordan River at its peak, the water just stopped. And it's just like what was impossible suddenly was possible. And I don't know about you, but you know, I'm a faith guy. And I've looked at situations where it feels like, oh, what on earth? But isn't it amazing when you just take a moment with God and say, okay, God, I don't know everything, but I believe you can. And then he just gives you that little prompt. Go and ask that question. Go and write that email. Go and push that door. Go and have that cup of coffee. Whatever it might be. It's often something simple. All he asked them to do is put your foot in the water. Now, we can all do that, can't we? But imagine as they stepped in the water and it stopped. What happens with your faith? It's like, whoa. I don't think God is going to ask any of you to do something so outrageous you're like, oh, I can't do this. I think he'll ask you to take a little step. And as you take a little step, you'll go, it's working, man, it's working. It's actually working. I don't know whether to quite believe it yet, but it's working. And then what happens? They take step number two. And it says they go across on dry land. Here's what I love. I don't know if you have Bibles with notes in them. I've got one of these massive Bibles and it's got all the notes in it. The notes are bigger than the Bible itself. And you know, if you're interested in studying your word, can I recommend a book to you? This is a side note, called Unlocking the Bible. It was funny, I've had people around mine for counselling and chatting, and I take them into the office, and there's this book, and it's about twice the size of the Bible. But it unpacks every book brilliantly well. If you want to go deeper in it, I recommend that book to you. David Pawson wrote it. He's a much older guy, and yeah, good. Anyway, that's a side note. But here's the thing. What it says in my notes is, for the water to have stopped exactly at that point, in the natural, it would have had to stop flowing 3 hours earlier. So what I get out of that is, God is living ahead of time. Yeah. You know, we're looking at stuff, even today, we're looking at what's happening tomorrow. We're looking at what's happening next week. We look at what's happening in the world. But God's already way in advance of that. And so he stirred the hearts of his people. And the moment they responded with a yes and took a step, he was already sorting it out way ahead of time. So when they stepped in, the water stopped. And I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what you're believing for. But I believe this. God's ahead of it. And if you just say yes and step out, you'll be going, wow. And God's like, at last, they're catching up with me. Come on, wouldn't it be so good? We talk about following Jesus. Wouldn't it be so good if we caught the tail of Jesus and just ran with him? And rather than dragging so far behind, going, oh, look what's happening over there, that we're right on the edge of it. Because God wants to give you an outrageous story today. 2024, a year of faith. Come on, you could walk through this year and look at everyone else and go, oh, that was a great story by them. That's a great story by them. Or you could write your own story and just say yes. You know, last week we talked about risk. Faith sometimes spells risk. But it might be a risk. It was a risk to step in the water. Because what if it didn't stop? But when they took the risk, it did stop. Let's stop our filter being, what if it goes wrong? And cause our filter to be, what if it goes right? Just what if God actually did what he said he put in your heart? Come on. But if you don't give him the opportunity, if you don't step out, because he's inviting you in, can you see it? So if the character of God says, I'm preparing in advance, what can we be doing? And I want to suggest through this voice verses, we can be consecrating ourselves. So I want to take you on a little bit of a journey with that. It's going to get a bit real, but go with me. They stepped through the water, but the next obstacle was now the wall. And that felt like a bigger obstacle. So God takes them on another journey. Joshua chapter 5, I'm going to read 7 verses, verses 2 through 9. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. I told you it was going to get a bit real. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Well played. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All of the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised to their ancestors to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and they were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained there in the camp until they were healed. It's getting painful, isn't it? Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, so this place will be called Gilgal and is to this day. See, consecration is being set apart to God. That's what it means in the end. But here we're going to another level. But it means the past is dealt with. It is forgotten. It is in the past. And now we're moving on to something bigger and better. Yeah. Now I'm going to tread carefully with this circumcision thing. But this, when you look at the Bible as an overview, the Bible as an overview is God revealing himself and his nature to man little by little just so we can understand him better. You know, we know that in the beginning, Abraham, who is described as the father of our faith, he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know God like we knew God. All he knew was he's up there. And so it says he came out and he looked up. That's all he knew. But he got this inkling in his heart and he said, leave your family and go to a place I'm going to show you. Well, that's stupid. Go somewhere. I'm not going to tell you where. Just go. But you know what? He just said yes. The father of our faith. Sometimes we don't know it all, but we just need to take that step. Yeah. It's the father of our faith. And then so they decided along the way, and both people who believe in the true God and people who believe in other gods, they believe that if they cut themselves, it got the God's attention. Which is why when you see Elijah on Mount Carmel having the fire off, you know that story? They're on Mount Carmel and he says to the 450 prophets of Baal, you call on your God and if fire comes down from heaven, we'll all believe in your God. But when you've had your go, I'm going to call on my God. And if my God sends fire down, we'll all believe in my God. He challenges them. Now right there, that's brave. Yeah. Would you take on 450 people from another faith and say, come on, then let's have it off? But he's like, let's go for it. So he says, you go first. So what do the prophets of Baal do? They run around singing and chanting, cutting themselves. And we're like, that's weird. But we need to know in that point of history, that's what they believe got God's attention. And it was the same with people who believed in our God. And so God, who is kind, said, okay, if at this point in history you believe the thing to please me is you've got to cut yourself, this is what I want to introduce, circumcision. Why? Because then you can only do it once. Wow. Unless you're a genetic unusual anomaly, you're going to do it once. Wow. Are you with me? So it's actually kind. We're now like, oh, that sounds a bit tough. All the men in the room as I was reading that were wincing. But it was actually kind. Because if you believe you've got to cut, I mean, God never said you've got to cut yourself, but they believed that. So he said, okay, I'm kinder than that. Let's do this thing. Just do it once, and then I'm happy, and you'll be happy, and you'll feel like you've played your part. And we know, don't we, that it all builds up to this story of God revealing himself till it's complete in Jesus. And it all leads to Jesus, who, by the way, was cut on our behalf. Isn't that cool? God all along was going to do it for us, but he couldn't reveal it to people straight away because it had just blown their minds. So he takes them on a journey, little by little, understand my heart, understand my character, understand who I am. And it culminates in God becoming man and walking amongst us. And then when everyone else thinks they've got to cut themselves, no, 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 God cuts himself on our behalf and hangs on a cross and says, you haven't got to do it, I'll do it. That's my God. That's your God. So actually, this circumcision thing, although it seems harsh, was actually kind in its time. Are you with me? And there's so many instances of this, you know, often when they plundered a land, the men would take the women and rape them and treat them horribly. But God said, no, don't do that. If you're going to do that, shave their heads. And it's just like, well, that seems harsh, doesn't it? Get all the girls. I mean, which girl, you know, likes the nice long hair or likes to look good, shave their heads? All the front row are like, yes, 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 yes. But actually, it was kind. Because what he's doing is if you're going to take one of these women, bring them into your house, allow them a period of grieving, and then treat them like your wife. Right. That's kinder, isn't it? Yeah. Than just rape them and leave them outside. Yeah. Now, if you want them, treat them well. Yeah. And so all the way through the Word, there is story after story after story of God helping man discover the heart of him. Yeah. And it culminates in Jesus, who says, you used to think you had to cut yourself, but I'm going to cut myself on your behalf. You'll never have to do it again. So some people choose circumcision for health reasons, but you don't ever have to do it to please God because he cut himself. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So good. Let's give Father a round of applause. So they circumcise themselves, and God says, because of that act, you're now consecrated. You're now prepared. They felt it. He felt it. They were on the same page. And it is then that they march around the walls of Jericho. We know the story, don't we? They march around once a day for 6 days in silence. I love God's plans because they're just stupid. And when you've got this great big thick wall, I know what we'll do. We'll walk around it in silence because that'll sort it right out. Imagine it. We know they're well organized. We know they're big guys. They will have known you were walking around. There were stacks of them. Stacks of these guys walking around. And they would have seen it. And they'd have been inside going, what on earth are they doing? Weirdos. Because you would have thought to yourself in the natural, we're going to throw big stones and rocks at it. We're going to throw fire in there. We're going to attack it. No, 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 no. God says walk around in silence. And on the last day, on the seventh day, walk around seven times. And then the piece de resistance. What's going to bring the walls down? We'll blow some trumpets. Yeah. They must have thinking, what on earth? But here's the thing. God spoke to Joshua. Joshua in his heart said, this is what God wants to do. He told his men and women, and they just said yes. And so they walked around with a yes in their heart and just did what God asked them in faith. The journey, I'm going to do amazing things amongst you. It looks impossible. But if you say yes, you step into the water, it stops. Your faith goes up. Then consecrate yourselves. Come on, remember whose you are. Set yourself apart, because it's going to get a little bit outrageous. And I want to say that it was a relational thing. God could have just done it. He could have said, as you walk up, it's all going to fall down. You watch, I'll sort it out. But no, he says, come on a journey with me. But part of that journey is set yourself apart to me. And then you will do. You will see amazing things. Are you hearing me? Yeah. I believe the principle is the same today. Exactly the same today. God is looking for his people, that's me and you, to write outrageous stories of his goodness. And the starting point for us is, will we set ourselves apart? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says this, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Can you see it? The word holy, what does it mean? Set apart. So it's the same principle. You are holy. Again, can I grasp this? You aren't holy because you're good. You're holy because Jesus is good. Yeah. It's Jesus who makes us holy. We can't be good enough to be holy. He's been good enough that we are made holy. When you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you are set apart because of him, not because of you. So the truth is, you are holy. Come on, touch the person next to you and remind them, you're holy. You're set apart. But I like to think there's another layer. So it says, we are holy, but then we need to be holy. So how about we behave like where we're positioned? Because the truth is, there's so many people in Christendom today who know they're holy but behave like something else. Yeah. And then we're like, God's not moving in my life. I'm praying prayers, they feel like they're hitting the ceiling. And God says, consecrate yourselves because I'm about to do good things. Yeah? So here's the thing. Be holy, for I am holy. And we are God's kids, aren't we? Now, we are royalty. I don't know if you remember some years ago, a photograph came out of Prince Harry. Remember, he was playing pool, hanging out with a girl, and he had his backside out. Did anyone see that photo? Sorry, but it happened. It's a real thing. And it was shocking. Prince Harry at the time was probably 18 years old. Now, here's the difference. If you saw the average 18-year-old lad out of his mates with his backside out, you'd probably think, yeah, 18-year-old kid, he's just been a goon. And we would like kind of think, yeah, maybe it's not the best, but he's 18, he's having a laugh with his mates. The reason it was shocking is it was Prince Harry. He's royalty. It's like, you're better than that. You belong to a different family. You are supposed to be representing something to the rest of the world. You're a prince, and there you are behaving like everyone else. Can you see the line where I'm going? You are royalty. We can't behave like everyone else. We can't be walking around town with our backsides out, people. Come on. Have you ever? My preachers always get a little bit entertaining, don't they? But I hope I'm driving the point. Are you getting the point? Now, I fully appreciate none of you walk around town with your backsides out. I get that. But there will be things. Jerry has thought about it. But all of us do things that maybe aren't great. And I think the challenge to the church today is, what does consecration look like to you? Where could you challenge yourself to say, I know whose I am I living like that? And that doesn't mean you're not holy. You are holy because of Jesus, full stop. But I believe if we live like that, it opens the way for the fullest life that Jesus came for. Because otherwise, it's just like cake and eat it. I'm holy, so I'll do what I want and expect Jesus to bless it. That's just not the reality, is it? God wants us to know our holiness and therefore live like it. Are you with me? Have you ever heard of a pastor or a spiritual leader who gets caught in obvious bad behavior? It's been lots recently, sad as it is. Now, my take on that is let's never judge anyone, because they are just men and women doing their best. You know, they'll be under massive attack. I believe when God's called people to lead thousands, imagine the spiritual attack that comes at them. So I'm never going to go, I can't believe they did that. How terrible. I don't know what they're up against. So no judgment from me. But what I will do is say, come on, can I be the best I can be? Can I represent God well? But when we see these pastors and spiritual leaders in poor behavior, you'll probably think, I expected something better. Why? Because they know who they are. And they should have maybe done better. But the truth of the matter is, do you know who you are? And could you do better? And I know this is challenging, but I say a challenging word like this because God wants to do outrageous things, and he wants to do it through you. And we can't just carry on living like everyone else and wait for God to show up miraculously. No, we've got a part to play in the journey. It's relational, and part of our process is, could we be holy? Could we consecrate ourselves? Could we challenge our thinking? I remember Sarah Jane years ago gave a message. It might have been on a similar topic, and she talked about the silver cutlery they were given for their wedding. Do you remember this? They had a set, I don't know if it was a 48-piece set of silver cutlery. Anyone got something like that? You know, posh spoons, all silver, lovely, knives and forks. You put them on the table, and it looks amazing. And it's like you've got these posh cutleries and stuff, and they're put in a special place. Why are they put there? Because they're set apart for special occasions. You see, the truth of the matter is, you don't go around Sarah's house for a McDonald's and she gets out the silver cutlery. Because that's going to be weird. Oh, I've got a gherkin on my silver fork. Oh, look at that. That's weird, isn't it? But here's the point. The silver cutlery is posh and set apart. The church of Jesus Christ is posh and set apart. So we can't carry on like everyone else, because Jesus is looking down going, that's just weird. Yet we sometimes think it's okay. Are you hearing the challenge? Yeah. Come on, you're amazing. I'm not here to tell you off. I'm here to challenge you and inspire you to be the best version of yourself to represent heaven well. Are you hearing me? Come on, touch the person next to you. Be the best version of yourself. So what does consecrate look like to me and you? Well, could we check our thoughts? Do your thoughts glorify Jesus? And none of us will ever know that, because we don't know what you're thinking. But sometimes I know what I'm thinking, and I'm like, oh, that's not great. But I want to be, in this year, a guy who challenges myself, stop thinking those things. Stop it. And when they enter my head, you know, when I get all offended that someone let me down, I'm like, they're just an idiot. Anyone ever thought, come on, let's get real. Anyone ever thought someone else is a right idiot? Come on. There we go. A few honest people in the room. Rest of you big fat liars. But it's like, come on, I can do better. Do we think Jesus ever in his life walked around thinking, what an idiot? No. Now, he challenged the religious people who came at him, but he wasn't thinking, you're an idiot. He was correcting them in no uncertain terms. But it's just like, come on, these are small things. There are big things that, you know, more obvious things. But thoughts are part of our being. Let's get our thoughts lined up with Christ. Let's think on him. Things that are lovely and good and pure and holy, these kind of things. We know the scriptures, do we live like it? Yeah. And I know maybe none of us will ever be perfect. Marge might be one day, because he's so cool. But are you with me? But if the heart of you says, I'm going to do my best, God can come in and use that. And when you mess it up, you're covered by his blood. Yeah. But you don't make a lifestyle of messing it up. You have the occasion of messing it up. And there's no judgment, there's grace. Yeah, where I'm weak, he's strong. All these kind of things. This is our God. He just loves us. But at some point, we have to choose to join in. At some point, we have to choose to say, I'm lining myself up with my actual position. What's your thought life like? Check our words. What are you saying? If we're going to check our thoughts, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I'll tell you the condition of your heart if I hang around with you for 24 hours and listen to you talk. And if you're someone who's moaning about everyone, if you're someone about moaning about everything, if you're someone running the workplace down, running the church down, running your friends down, it's saying something about your heart. Yeah. And I want to say, God is saying to you, consecrate yourselves. Yeah. It's not how I think. Yeah. It's not how I speak. Are your words kind? Are your words life-giving? Are your words full of hope? Do your words carry wisdom? Can you hear it? Yeah. I know this is challenging. But come on, I'm about to do amazing things amongst you. It is worth the challenge. Could we be people who wake up tomorrow and say, Lord, I am nowhere near perfect, but help me today to think like you, to speak like you, to act like you. Yeah. And you'll probably at the end of the day look back and go, I wasn't brilliant, but maybe I was better than the day before. Yeah. And God says, well done. And the next day you get up and say, Lord, help me to think like you, speak like you, act like you. And maybe you won't be perfect, but maybe you'll be a little bit better. Yeah. What if we went on that journey for a whole year? How set apart could you be in your behavior in December? Are you with me? Yeah. It's worth the challenge because God will do amazing things. Check out our actions. I love this thought. If Jesus stood next to you, would you still do that thing? I'll just leave that one there. But come on. I don't know what you get up to. I don't know. On your everyday, on your average, on your good day and on your bad day. But if Jesus literally stood next to you, would you still do it? And if the answer is no, stop it. Come on, life is a bunch of choices. It's a bunch of choices. You don't have to do that thing. You don't have to say that thing. You don't have to think that. Get a hold of your life and say, I'm choosing to line my behaviors up with Christ because I've understood the assignment on my life. I am on earth, but not of the earth. I'm here representing heaven, and it's worth the fight. And it is a fight because there's always pressures. There's always that idiot who comes at you, but we're not going to call him an idiot because maybe God's put them in there to rub you up the wrong way just to help you be a little bit more holy. Do you know? Have you ever been in that workplace environment, in that friendship group where there's always that person who really gets under your skin? You don't have to answer that, especially if they're sat next to you. But maybe God's allowing that because it's rubbing you up. And you know that to get smooth, you have to be rubbed up the wrong way. And God wants to smooth us down. And what happens is our attitudes change. And it challenges us to be a little bit more like Jesus. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to be the church of Jesus Christ today, could we take our holiness and protect it? You know, I played football. Many of you know. And one of the things you used to do is shield the ball. You'd have the ball at your feet and someone would try to come and take the ball off you. So what would you do? You stick your big fat bum out. You ain't having that ball. Get away. I'm protecting the ball. Sometimes, Christians, we need to stick our big fat bums out and protect our holiness. Do you see? No, I'm holy, but this temptation comes in. This person comes in and rubs me up the wrong way. And you're like, no. I'm protecting it. Terrible imagery, but the point's good. Point is good. Protect it. Are you hearing me? Come on, protect your holiness. Wake up in the morning and say, today I'm protecting it. There will every day be something happen that will make you feel like falling off the edge of holiness. Protect it. Fight for it. Because God is about to do amazing things through you. And it's worth the fight. I believe the beginning of a faith story starts with people who live in such a way they revere God. Come on, it's Almighty God. Almighty God. Sometimes I wonder if in church life we become like God's our best buddy. And he is. But he's also Almighty God who could strike me down at any minute. But out of his love and grace for me, he just keeps lifting me up and lifting me up and lifting me up. And I want to live in such a way that says, thank you, Jesus. not take it for granted, I'll do what I want. I'm going to protect my holiness no matter what comes at me. I'm just going to do it. David prayed that amazing, dangerous prayer. Lord, search my heart to see if there's any unclean thing. That's a great prayer. Come on, can I challenge you tonight, before you go to bed, to say, Lord, search my heart, and then listen. And more than listen, hear. Hear what he says, and then act. Shift it. It's just worth it. You know, some of the, if we could have a keyboard player or a guitarist, that'd be great. I wondered about going here. But here's the thing. Addictions need breaking. Yeah. Come on, it's worth the fight. There'll be people sat in this room. There'll be people listening online. They're addicted to stuff. Come on, it's worth breaking. Yeah. It's worth fighting for. All things are possible with Jesus. You might be someone who's had a habit so long, you're like, I can't see any other way but God. Come on, it's worth the fight. You know, pornography. It's massive. You know, in my day, you had magazines on the top shelf. And it's embarrassing to go and pick them up. Nowadays, you can pick up your phone and within 3 seconds have images in front of you. And our teenagers are growing up in that environment. Let's fight for it. Let's break it. It's not holy. It's causing huge damage in marriages. And it's not just men now. It's women. Because what happens is you think it's all okay and doing no harm, but your attitude to the opposite sex changes. Because they're treated like a piece of meat there. And it becomes normal. And it's exciting. And then you get into a marriage and you've seen that for so long, it's in your heart. And then you wonder why your husband or your wife isn't treating you like that. But that is not real. That is an attack on your relationships. For someone who struggles with that, come on, sometimes I feel like the devil makes things embarrassing so that we can't deal with it. Let's never be embarrassed. This is what I believe. 100% of men have looked at pornography. Come on. We have. Everyone has. I have. But there comes a point we say, no more. No more. Because I'm holy. And I'm going to protect it. When that thought comes in, no. But it takes some guts to break it. Come on, alcohol. So many people, the pubs are rammed on Friday and Saturday night. And do you know why I think that is? Because they're so dissatisfied with their life that they go out on a Friday, get smashed out their skull so they can forget it for a weekend. But Jesus said, I came that you'd have full life. Not a life to run away from, a life to celebrate. Now, I'm not anti anyone having a go and having a drink and having some fun. But when people are drinking so much, what are you running from? Yet here we are, the Church of Jesus Christ, that says, come on, there's something better. I'm believing for amazing things. Maybe you're someone who's believing for a relationship. Well, hammer down the pub and watching pornography is not going to get you there. But holiness and honouring God might. Do you see it? We need to break some stuff. Gossip. Come on. What's coming out of your mouth? Who are you talking about? Would you say it to their face? If you can't say it to their face, don't say it behind their back. Jesus didn't do it. It's not okay. And there's this challenge about what consecration actually looks like today. And it means not behaving like everyone else. It means behaving like the king's kids. Are you with me? Could we have an attitude that I'm royalty? There's an expectation on my lifestyle from heaven looking down, cheering us on. Underpinned by no judgment. Jesus did enough. You are forgiven and you are saved, full stop. But just imagine if we started living like that. That he could come in and say, I can bless that lifestyle. I can give you a story of my goodness. But all the while you're choosing these other things, I still love you and you're still saved, but I can't bless it. Because you're choosing something else. So I hope you hear the challenge. Every one of us will have something. But my hope, as lead pastor here, my hope is that you will be willing to take on your personal challenge to say, what does consecration look like for me? Because if you'll take the challenge, God is about to do amazing things. And what stories could we tell? Wouldn't it be amazing? life partner, you're believing for a financial breakthrough, you're believing for healing, you're believing for a friend or family member to meet Jesus. I don't know what you're believing for, loads of different stuff maybe. But maybe if we consecrated ourselves, God will come rushing in and say, I can bless that, I can use you. We could be up for it. And again, no judgment. Peter, the disciple, probably was the most outrageous, did amazing things, but he was also the most foolish sometimes. But Jesus just loved him. You know, he was so passionate about Jesus, and they came to arrest him, he's like, no! And he whops his ear off. Like, that was going to change everything. Interesting backstory there, though. Because it was actually the temple guards that came to arrest Jesus. And to be a temple guard, you have to be perfect in appearance. And so the moment he chopped his ear off, he couldn't be a temple guard. Because he wasn't in perfect appearance. So he lost his authority to arrest Jesus. Peter knew what he was doing. But what does Jesus do? Peter, stop being a goon. I've got this one. Puts his ear back. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Jesus knew he had to choose to pay a price. There he was at Gethsemane saying, could this cup be taken from me, sweating blood? But you know what he did? He chose. I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to go through it, because there'll be a day in 2024 where you're sat in church, and you're sat in church, and you're sat in church, and you are just worth it. And maybe if we as the church could choose to consecrate ourselves, your friend would be sat in church. Someone else's friend would be sat in church. This city would be known for Jesus, because the church just got serious at last. But it's a choice. It's not easy. I don't diminish any of it. If you struggle with addiction, no condemnation for me. It's awful and difficult, but God can make a way. Now, if you're in poor habits in general, or you're saying the wrong thing and it's become a lifestyle, no judgment from me. But come on, could we break it? We fight for it. Because God loves you too much to leave you there. Would you stand up? I'd love to pray with you. I want to encourage you to not go through things on your own. You know, one of the things I believe God created church, loves church, is because we do it together. None of us is the whole package, but together we can achieve so much. And so if you're up against some stuff, if you're fighting for stuff, if you're trying to do the right thing but can't do the right thing, don't be embarrassed. Don't do it on your own. Come and share it with someone. Let them help you. We have a prayer team up here at the end of every service. Maybe today's a good day to come and say, I feel challenged by that message. Could you just pray for me? I need a springboard. Maybe that will start something for you. So come on, every eye closed, if you're willing. Let's focus on Jesus. Lord, I just know that you'd have touched some buttons today. You'd have touched some areas. But Lord, as a church and as individuals, we choose to take on the challenge, consecrate ourselves. Father, I pray that everyone here would get a fresh revelation that they're royalty. We are the King's kids. You guys are amazing. But we have an enemy who is constantly trying to rob us, and he never rests. But I declare the word fight over you, that you will fight for your holiness. Because as you consecrate yourselves, God will do amazing things. And it's worth it. It's just worth it. So Lord God, I pray as only you can in this moment, would you highlight things in our lives you want us to consider? And as we go on that journey, I pray, Father God, for supernatural empowerment to be strong, to be courageous, to fight, to stand when it would be easier to sit. And come out victorious. Jesus leads his church in triumph. That's you. Draw strength from him. But come on, let's win. Let's break these words. Let's break these thoughts. Let's break these behaviors. Because good things are on the other side of that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I ask that everyone would go away from this place encouraged, challenged in a good way. With a fresh zeal in our heart to say, I'm living for Jesus. I thank you for my holiness, but I'm going to live like that now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to worship and